Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And, of course, I am coming to you live with lots of love and just a little bit of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. I know that I have listeners now from all over the world, and I just want to say how grateful I am that you have joined me again today. Hello to my listeners in Europe, in Asia, in Dubai, Canada, and the U.S., and I pray that whatever part of the world you're listening from and living in, that this show will be a blessing to you and take you to the next level in all areas of your life. Well, it's been a beautiful, sunny, and cold day here in Atlanta. It almost feels like winter. As a matter of fact, today when I went out, I had to wear a hat and a coat and my boots today. So it's gotten colder here much sooner than we normally experience. But indeed, I still had a great day. Well, I have some exciting news for my listeners. Today, during my meditation time, I had an inspired idea. And by the way, that is where all of my ideas come from, my spirit. So starting on October the 21st, that's this Wednesday, I will begin on a daily basis to Twitter you coaching tips for change for the next 21 days. So that means if you're not currently following me on Twitter, you need to do so. So beginning this Wednesday, October the 21st, I will be posting my first daily coaching tip that will help begin to move you from where you are to the place of change where you want to be. And you know, it takes 21 days to change any habit, and I always say that you have behaved yourself into your current situation, and these 21 days will teach you how to behave yourself out of it. So you will have 21 days of change. So open up your mind to believe that indeed all things are possible and that change can occur in your life within 21 days. So just begin to follow me on Twitter. Look for my postings. Just follow Constance Arnold and begin to expect miraculous changes in your life. Additionally, let me share with you who some of my upcoming guests would be. Next week, October the 25th, I have Jonathan Mansky. He's the author of The Law of Attraction Made Simple, Magnetize Your Heart's Desires. And in November, can you believe it's already November, Dr. Jim Goldstein is going to be teaching us how to keep the love, passion, and desire alive in your marriage and relationships. Marsha Weider, my mentor, who's been on Oprah twice, she is America's Dream Coach, author, How to Make Your Dreams Come True, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, author, What Makes the Great Great, and David Hopper, The Law of Attraction and Money. So as you can see, I have so many great guests lined up for you simply to help you begin to create the life of your dreams. So I want you to stay tuned. But today, you are in for a wonderful, wonderful adventure. I'm so excited about my guest today. My guest is Dr. Arthur Bernard, and he is the author of God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries, Unlocking the Power of the Inner Mind. Dr. Bernard is a pioneer in the field of dream work. He's been a clinician, a guest lecturer, seminar leader, and media expert on the topics of dreams for 25 years. He's also hosted his own radio show, Dream Talk, in Los Angeles. And I spoke to him prior to him coming live on the air, and he told me that he is writing his second book. He currently lives in Arizona, I believe, and is just an expert on dreams. I reread his book again today, and it was so powerful. So we are so honored and privileged to have with us today Dr. Arthur Bernard. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Oh, thank you, Constance. That was a really splendid introduction. I thank you very much. But you got to send us some cool weather. 95 here today.
Oh, and you're living where, Dr. Bernard?
South of Tucson, Arizona.
Ah, it was really cold here today.
Oh, we miss it. We miss it. We need rain here.
Okay, so share with our listeners just a little bit about who you are and your work and what you're currently doing, and then we're going to get into your book.
Okay. Well, I got interested in dreams in my mid-20s. I was born in Boston, and my wife and I served in the Army for a couple of years. They had a draft then, and my wife said, you know, when we get out of the Army, let's go to California. So we went, and we drove to California. She had a family here, and I had a sister, and I started therapy with a Jungian analyst, a man who was trained by C.G. Jung, the great Swiss psychiatrist, and he put a great deal of emphasis on dreams. And that was my first introduction to dreams. And then I started teaching in a public school when I came to California. Did that for a number of years, and then decided that I think I need to do something else, because the kids in my history class were more interested in talking about their personal problems rather than the history I was trying to teach. And I became more interested in their personal problems than in the history I was supposed to teach. So I went back to school, and I got a master's, eventually got a PhD, and was licensed as a marriage and family counselor. But in Los Angeles at that time, you really had to specialize in something. So I was meditating one day, thinking about what should I specialize in. And I fell asleep for a moment, and I had a quick dream. The dream was nothing but a man's voice, and it said to me, "Open the Dream Center." And I woke up, and to this day, I don't know if the voice was inside me or outside me. So within 2 months, I actually opened a dream center. I gave lectures, I gave seminars, and then I started organizing seminars throughout the state of California, and I did them in Texas and Massachusetts and so on. So it was quite an adventure. In a sense, I was called to do this work, and I'm sure many people are called to their profession. Many people are called to, you know, to do what they're supposed to be doing with themselves.
That is so interesting. So let's get into dreams. Share with our listeners, Dr. Bernard, why do we dream?
Well, we cannot not dream. Dreams are as natural as a tree. You know, it's a natural language. Nature said we dream at nighttime. We dream for 2 hours. And I personally think we dream, so dreams want us to think, and they want us to think deeply. I think dreams are trying to get us to enter the mystery of our lives. And I think that's the primary reason. I think many Americans tend to live their life on the surface. You know, my life is a mile wide and an inch deep. Well, dreams want your life to be an inch wide and a mile deep. And I think where people really get hung up is dreams are symbolic. This natural language, just like a tree, just like plants, just like grass, it's a natural thing. And I think where people get hung up is that dreams speak in symbols. Just like nature produces flowers, the unconscious mind in dreams produces symbols. And a lot of people get hung up on that. So they have a dream where I'm back in college and I need to take a final exam and I'm not ready, I'm not prepared. And they wake up and say, "Oh, what nonsense. I've been out of college for 40 years, but it's a symbolic language. You see, people wouldn't ask themselves, well, maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am, or a person dreams that they're nude. And I had a minister who dreamt that he was nude, and he went to speak in front of his congregation. So suddenly his private parts became public parts.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, and he was so embarrassed, but nobody in the congregation was even concerned about his nudity. They were just waiting for him to deliver his sermon.
And so God
so speaks. What happened was interesting. We talked about what nude meant. It was a symbol. You know, he said, well, I don't walk around nude, but I said, you got to look at it symbolically. Nude means open, nude means natural, new means vulnerable. And he finally got the point, and he said, you know, I've been invited to Hawaii, and I'm going to take my mask off. We all tend to wear masks. You know, doctors have an image they want to show to the world, lawyers, accountants, architects, and so on, and therapists. They have an image, and they want to project this image. They wear a mask, in a sense. And he said, when I go to Hawaii, I'm going to tell it like I always wanted to tell it. I'm going to tell it from my heart and my gut. And he came back, and he said it was the best lecture he ever gave. And that one dream changed his life. Another woman had a repeat dream twice, and she called me frantic. She dreamt she was standing next to a telephone, and blood was pouring out of her ear. She knew she was dying, and a big pool of blood was building up near the telephone. And, you know, sometimes dreams are literal. So she went to the doctor. Doctor said, your ears are fine. Your hearing is good. So when she came to my office and shared the dream, I said to her, and I knew she was an accomplished artist, I said to her, what is blood? She said, it's the life force. Well, what are you doing on the telephone? How do you spend your days? I knew she was an accomplished artist. And she embarrassingly, she hung her head down, and she said, you know, I live in a condominium complex. All my friends are there. And she said, I'm on the telephone gossiping 3 to 4 hours a day. You see, symbolically, she was losing the life force through this listening to this gossip. And she went back to her painting. That dream really shook her up. So, you know, you have to look at dreams as symbols. They stand for more than just the object itself.
Well, I know in your book you talk about famous dreamers and how their dreams change their world and our world. Share with our listeners some examples of that.
Well, there were 3 Nobel Prize winners in chemistry, biology, and physics. Alexander Lowy was a biologist, and he had a dream. He was working on nerve transmission. He couldn't understand whether it was chemical or electrical. So he had this dream 3 nights in a row, and he got up on the 3rd night. He went to the lab, did the experiment, and it proved that nerve transmission was both chemical and electrical, and he won the Nobel Prize. Same thing with Frederick Bantung, a Canadian, who had a dream about, he was working on diabetes, and he had a dream about taking the pancreas out of a dog, hanging it up, drying it out, squeezing out the liquid. The whole dream was about insulin and the cause and treatment of diabetes. Even Lincoln had a dream predicting his death 3 days before he was assassinated. He had a dream that he heard a lot of noise downstairs in the rotunda, and he got up out of bed, and he put a bathrobe on, and he walked downstairs, and people were crying, and there was a huge coffin there. And he said to one of the guards, what's happened? He said, and the guard said, oh, the president, he's been shot to death 3 days before Lincoln was killed.
Wow.
So dreams can see into the future.
That is so interesting. So, Dr. Bernard, is there a relationship between the law of attraction and our dreams?
Well, that's really interesting. You know, when you said that earlier, I said, you know, when I got the idea for writing my book, I said, I've got to take time off and write this book. So how am I going to do that? So I started to develop a method of programming dreams, how to produce problem-solving dreams. So I started to dream about the stock market, and I couldn't believe it. My dream, there were two stocks, two individual biotech stocks, and I owned 50,000 shares and 30,000 shares of another one, and my dreams were so accurate. I made a low seven figures in about 3.5 to 4 years. It was the most amazing thing. So I became stress-free about money because the stock market, I just attracted it to myself. Dreams are very accurate. Dreams can't lie. The conscious mind can lie. The conscious mind can deceive. It can manipulate. It can deceive. It can do all kinds of tricky things. But the unconscious mind, the natural mind, can't lie because it's pure nature. And nature doesn't lie. Nature just is. Nature is a fact, just like a tree is growing. It's a fact. And so I apparently, I want to share with your listeners, this is possible. I have a CD that enables you to produce dreams or program your dreams of how to create new ways to make to create abundance or to make money, new and creative ways to make money, and health and spiritual growth and so on. That was the law of attraction for me. I didn't do it consciously, but, you know, thinking about it consciously is very important. I did it unconsciously. Somehow I just focused on my need to make money, and my dreams produced it. And then I would ask my dreams, and I would ask my dreams, well, when should I sell this? And a voice would say, the stock is going to 32. I think I bought it at 4 or 3.5 or 4 or something like that. And these voices would come on at nighttime and say, no, the stock is going to 36. But it made me nervous. You know, the stock market makes me really nervous.
Oh, it does.
I'm not really comfortable with it. But it worked for me.
Right. So what you're saying is it's possible to get help about money matters from our dreams. If we, on purpose, at night before we go to sleep, we can actually ask for problem-solving dreams. Share with our listeners, how can they, on purpose, begin to use their dreams to solve their problems?
Well, the first thing is you have to state the problem. What is the problem? And you can't work it out consciously. And then you have to think about this problem as much as you can while you're in the conscious state. Like in my CDs, I ask people a lot of questions. The idea is to empty out the conscious mind of all of its potential thoughts on the subject. So then you leave the unconscious mind to produce new information. And then when you go to sleep at night, say, you know, tonight I'm going to dream about the answer to a very important problem in my life, and I will awaken and record my dream in all its detail, and just keep repeating that to yourself, and it frequently happens.
It happened to me, and as I shared with you before we came on the air many years ago,
I know.
I was in the process of purchasing a car, and the man wanted money the next day, and I really wanted that red convertible, Dr. Bernard. I had to have it, and I did not have the money. And so that night I prayed, and I said, God, please give me a dream. And I was racking my brain, and like you said, in my conscious mind, I did not know. But that night I had a dream, and the word that came to me in my dream was promissory note. And I'm like, promissory note? What is a promissory note? And as soon as I woke up the next morning, I looked it up in the dictionary, And I had a meeting with the gentleman at 2 p.m., and I said, would you take a promissory note? And he said, not a problem, and I drove off in that red convertible. That's a prime example of somebody who really had a problem and went to sleep and prayed and dreamed and got the answer in my dreams.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the unconscious mind, the dreaming mind, sees where you're blind. The unconscious mind can see around corners. It can see through walls. It sees where you don't see. And it can produce information, and it can solve problems. And, you know, we're meant to live our lives consciously. We're not meant to live our lives in the dream world. But you have to do as much conscious thinking as you possibly can. And then when you get stuck, really stuck, and you can't go any further, then it's time to go to a dream.
That's
very similar to these people who won the Nobel Prize. They took it as far as they could go, and then they couldn't take it anymore. And that's when a dream came up.
That is so true. Well, if you're just joining me, I'm interviewing Dr. Arthur Bernard, and he's sharing with us about dreams. He's the author of God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries, How to Unlock the Power of the Inner Mind. Okay, Dr. Bernard, what about dreams and attracting a relationship, or dreams and relationships? Have you had any of your clients who've had some very interesting adventures in that arena?
Oh, absolutely. I've had people... Sure enough, and
God really speaks us through our dream. Can you hear me, Dr. Bernard? We love
I
you.
Sure can. Can you hear me?
I hear you. So talk about dreams and relationships. Can a person dream and find out who their soulmate might be, or can they dream and find out about relationships?
Well, when they get in relationships, like I was saying, this woman said she wanted to divorce her husband because she had met her soulmate. Well, 3 weeks later, she had a dream, and in this dream, a little rat crawled into her heart because the rat was very cold, and the rat just wanted to get warm. And then the rat got hungry and started to eat up her heart, and eventually ate up her whole heart, and she woke up empty-hearted. You know, this man turned out to be a parasite, and she said, "It's my soulmate." So the message in that dream is, don't underestimate your ability to fool yourself when you're in love. I've had several clients who have had dreams about their future mate. Like one woman said she was shopping in a supermarket, and she was engaged to be married in 2 months. And she was shopping in a supermarket, and she saw a beautifully wrapped package in a blank shopping cart, in an empty shopping cart. So she looked around. She didn't see anybody. Then she took the beautifully wrapped package and put it in her shopping cart. When she went to check out, she put it in her paper bag. And as she walked out the door, a knife came out of the bag, stabbed her in the heart, and mortally wounded her. Now, I didn't know her at this time, but she told a friend the dream, and the friend said, "The only thing I can think of is that you frequently refer to your fiancé as a beautifully wrapped package." Well, she showed me the scars. After she married him, she didn't listen to her friend, but she married him, and then she pulled her blouse down behind her neck and shoulder, and she showed me the place where he came at her with a knife and almost killed her.
Wow.
So dreams pick up things in relationships that you don't. Another woman who met at a bar, she met an ugly guy and a great-looking guy, and she was hoping that, you know, the great looking guy would call her. And instead she had a dream that the ugly one called her, and they went out and they had this wonderful time, a wonderful experience for her. And then 2 days later, the ugly guy called, she went out, and they've been married for 17 years.
How interesting. So what is the significance of reoccurring dreams if a person keeps having the same dream over and over and over again?
Well, that's a common experience. Usually these are negative dreams. And what the dream is saying is there's a problem that keeps coming up in your life, and you're not dealing with it successfully. You're dealing with it the same way over and over and over again. Now, for people who do have recurring dreams, I think it's very important for them to write the dream down and then think about what happened the day before the dream. What were the events that triggered the dream? And maybe they could begin to see a pattern where they can see a pattern happening, and they can focus on the issue and the problem. But the dream is often telling people, especially if it's a negative dream, and it usually is, that here the problem has come up again in your life, and you're dealing with it the same way over and over and over again.
Well, interestingly enough, have you ever heard the saying, sometimes what happens in your life during the day, or maybe what you eat during the course of the day, can determine what you dream? Is that true?
Well, sometimes if you overeat and stuff yourself. My wife used to have that dream when she ate Italian food late at night. She would dream of four cars coming to an intersection, and they would all collide with each other. Something was happening in her stomach, in her digestion. But, you know, usually emotionally, you dream about emotional issues, issues that have some real feeling significance to you. And certainly, food can be a real danger. You know, if you dream that you're eating a cupcake, or you love cupcakes, and you're about to eat a cupcake in a dream, and there's a skull and a crossbone on that cupcake, stay away from that sugar. The dream is telling you this is really unhealthy for you. I remember a woman who had a dream that she was standing in the lake, and a bagel, Lux, and cream cheese came flying over the pine trees, landed in the lake, and as it sank to the bottom, all the animals died in the lake, and all the plants died, and the lake was murky. And a voice said to her, in order to clean up this lake, you must fill it with oatmeal. And she didn't have her shoes on, and she could feel oatmeal squiggling between her toes. And sure enough, when she felt that, the lake cleared up, the plants came back to life, and the fish returned, and the turtles returned, and the frogs returned. Her diet was destructive to her. She needed more fiber.
And so God uses the time when we're sleeping to really speak with us. So how can we begin to interpret a dream and get benefits from a dream that we might dream?
Well, I think the first way to look at a dream is think of a dream more as a question than an answer. So, for example, let's say you dream about you're in prison, you've been a criminal, and you're locked up, and you're in prison. So the first thing to ask yourself is, how do I imprison myself? How do I keep myself locked up? Let's say you're driving an automobile, and you're not the driver, you're just the passenger, or you're in the back seat, and somebody is driving the car. Maybe a parent is driving the car, and it's kind of out of control. And you have to ask yourself, where in my life do I need to take command? Where in my life do I need to get behind the wheel and direct my own course of life? So think of a dream as a question, not as an answer. When you think of it as a question, you don't even have to interpret the symbols, because it's the action that determines the question. That's the first way to look at a dream.
Okay, so what is the fine line between meditating in a deep state and actually sleeping? So can a person get answers to some of their problems when they're meditating?
Oh, absolutely. When you can quiet the conscious mind, when you can really put it to rest, then you free up the unconscious mind to present you with a solution to a problem. Sure, people who meditate. Oh, the first time I meditated, I went to a class and I meditated that night, and then I had a dream after the first night of meditation. I dreamt I was in the Midwest someplace, and there was a 10 square foot area of newly churned up earth and getting ready for planting. And then the next night I meditated, and now the 10 square foot was planted. There were seeds, rows of seeds. And then the third night I meditated, the seeds were blooming. And this went on for years. And, you know, the land just kept expanding and expanding and expanding. There's a natural growth that seems to take place when you meditate. And it really stimulates your dreaming mind also. People who meditate usually recall their dreams more frequently. So my suggestion is, you know, to your listeners, definitely meditate. It's a unique experience. The Buddhists were very correct when they said meditation, meditation. It's true. It's true. It works.
Well, speak of recalling our dreams, how can we begin remembering our dreams? Because sometimes I would dream and I may not even remember what I dreamt, and then there are times when I, as soon as my feet touch the floor, I remember. So how can we begin remembering our dreams?
Well, the first way is what most people do when they awaken, they start thinking about what's coming up the next day or the day ahead of them. They start obsessing about the errands they have to do, the responsibilities they have to take care of, and they ruminate in their minds, and they take themselves right out of the dream world. How I do it is when I awaken, I lie still. I keep my eyes closed. I do not open my eyes. And I lie very still. And then I say to myself, very silently, what was I dreaming? And I wait 20, 10, 15, 20, 25 seconds. And then if nothing comes, I'll say, what was I dreaming? And how do I feel? And that way, I often recall a dream. I also use a meditation mantra. In fact, I'll give it to you. My mantra was Ra Rum Ka. This seems to work for me about 70 to 80% of the time. I just wake up. I focus in my forehead. It seems that my dreams seem to come back out of the third eye. They just seem to flow back out of the third eye. And I will meditate and focus right in that spot. So I'll say my mantra silently, Ra Rum Ka, and I'll wait, and I'll focus right above my nose in the middle of my forehead and wait and see what happens. And I'll wait there for sometimes 5, 7 to 10 minutes, because I have actually recalled dreams even after 10 minutes. But you can't jump out of bed and start, you know, thinking about the day. You take yourself right out of the dream world.
You do. So what do nightmares mean? Because there have been many times when people said, oh, my goodness, especially children. Why do we have nightmares, Dr. Bernard?
We have nightmares. Adults have nightmares because sometimes the unconscious mind can only get the message to you with a 2x4 right between the eyes. You know, the unconscious mind will try and wake us up. People often say, oh, I had this terrible nightmare. Well, what does it mean? It means, well, like somebody's chasing me or somebody's trying to kill me. And it's your negative thinking that you're doing that to yourself. And nightmares are very intense emotional dreams, and they usually have a sense of urgency. The message is crucial that you grasp it and understand it, because nightmares are their wake-up calls, you know, that you're doing something that is maybe unhealthy for you, risky for you, or what have you. You're in a bad relationship, you know, a lot of, like that woman who was stabbed in the heart, she didn't want to pay attention to that dream, and she didn't. And I've had people who eat certain foods, they have nightmares about these foods. Here's a nightmare. It's a warning dream where a woman fell asleep and she started dreaming. And the doctor came to her and said to her, if you don't go see an ophthalmologist, you will go blind. I mean, she woke up and that message was as clear as a bell. So she went to an ophthalmologist, and sure enough, he said, you've got a rare eye disease, and it's treatable. And she was very fortunate. She was treated for this disease, and she did not lose her sight. So
very interesting. And, you know, all throughout the Bible, God speaks to people in the Old Testament and the New Testament through dreams. And you talked about healing. What about dreams and healing? I know in my own personal life, I guess it was about a couple of years ago, I was traveling a lot, Dr. Bernard, and I was just really tired. I was on planes and traveling and all over, and I just prayed, and then I said, God, show me what I should take to really give myself more energy. And the word potassium came up. I prayed, and, you know, that would have never crossed my mind. And as soon as I start taking potassium, you know, my energy increase, et cetera. And so that's an example of receiving healing through the dream state. So what can a person do who may be experiencing chronic pain right now, who may be having a difficult time physically? What can they do as far as healing is
concerned? Your unconscious mind knows you down to the molecular level. I remember when I wasn't feeling well, I had a dream that I was walking on the sand and I saw an iron spike. It was sticking out of the sand. It was an iron spike they used to build the railroads. It was very rusty. So I bent down, picked it up, and I suddenly experienced this surge of power. I was able to run so fast and I felt so strong. And sure enough, when I woke up, I said, iron. Iron gives me the strength. So I said, I need to have a blood test. Sure enough, I went to the doctor, took a blood test, and he said, you're iron deficient. You're an anemic borderline. And so he prescribed iron pills, and I felt so much better. Everything worked better. Now, as far as pain, I had a woman in a seminar who had a foot neuropathy, a pain for 2 years. Medical doctors could not help her. And when I did this dream programming, her choice for the problem to solve was this pain in her foot. And she fell asleep while I was doing the guided imagery. She fell asleep and had a very quick dream. And in this dream, she was looking at her foot, the pain foot, and she could see through her foot like an X-ray machine. She could see the bones, the tissue, the ligaments under the skin. And suddenly a white light entered her foot, and she knew it was a healing light. She knew it. And she woke up, and the pain was gone. I followed her for 2 years, and that pain never came back. I first learned about this when I read a book about the ancient Greek dream temples. The ancient Greeks were like you and us. We go to medical doctors, but when a medical doctor doesn't work, then we go to alternative medicine. So today we go to acupuncturists, herbologists, psychic healers, and so on. In the ancient world, the alternative was a dream temple. They had 300 dream temples in ancient Greece. So my wife and I flew to Greece, and we went to the most famous, a place called Epidavros, which is about 75 miles west of Athens. And I read all about the dreams that people had. They came, they were blind, they were lame, they were war wounded, they were arthritic. And the idea was to spend a couple of months there. And then a dream would tell you when you were ready to go to a special place to sleep. And when you fell asleep, the God of healing would appear in your dreams. And he would perform surgery. Like he opened the chest and did open heart surgery. He opened the head and did brain surgery. He did surgeries that if they had tried while people were awake, no one would have survived. But people would pray, and they would recite poetry, and they would bathe, and they would take 2 months to prepare for this healing dream. And sometimes they weren't healed. You know, their faith wasn't strong enough, I guess.
Right.
And it was amazing. It was most amazing. So I figured, well, I don't have 2 months. People don't have 2 months. People have maybe 3 hours on a Friday night, and so I shortened the version, and I have an actual CD on how to get health information and healing information. So it is possible. It is possible. I've had people who have had serious automobile accidents, and in their dreams, one woman had wolves that were massaging her neck and back, which were severely injured. And when she woke up from this dream, she felt so much better. They even use dogs now, I think, to massage wounded areas to help in the healing process.
That's so true.
So it is possible to...
It is possible. That is so interesting that people would go to this dream temple. Because I think that especially in the West or in the U.S. that we're so busy that we don't get quiet enough to meditate and be still and really hear what God is saying to us. And so I think that dreams is just one way that God sort of circumvents all of our business and said, okay, this is what you really need to do. And speaking of that, you have a chapter on dreams have no boundaries, all doors open to the dreaming mind. And you talked about consciousness has no limits. I love that. Expound on that for our listeners. What did you mean by that?
Well, the title of the book, God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries, the first part came from a dream. It wasn't my dream, but it was a dream of a man by the name of John Dunn, D-U-N-N-E, who was an aeronautical engineer, very interested in dreams. And he had a dream that he was sitting on a rock overlooking the River Jordan in Israel, and an angel was next to him, and behind him was God working on something, but he couldn't turn to see God, and he was in sunlight. And then he looked across the river, and he saw billions of people, all of humanity. They were all on the hands and knees, scraping and digging in the ground, and they were all in shadow. And suddenly he realized that this was the shadow of God. The shadow of God was on everybody, in everybody, between everybody, but they don't know it. So he turned to the angel and he said, why do these fools not know that the shadow of God is on them, in them, between them? It's everywhere. Why don't they know it? And he thought to himself, well, if the angel said everybody's busy doing their own thing, he would have said, you're full of baloney. But instead, the angel looked at him and said, well, they can't see God. Because God has no edges. Mm. How do you see something with no edges? You don't. There's no boundaries. So when I started working with dreams, God's supposed to be omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent. So when I first began working with dreams, I had people who had remote viewing. Like a woman, she was so anxious because her son was in overnight camp for the first time. I think he was 8 years old. And she had a dream that night that he didn't sleep very well because there was a mouse in his cabin, and the mouse was running on his bed, and he was running on the sink, and so on and so forth. So the next day she called him and got a hold of him. And he said, I didn't sleep very well last night. And she says, was it because of the mouse? He said, how did you know? So remote viewing. And then I realized that people could be healed in their dreams. And I had several people who actually healed in their dreams. And then I realized that not only that people could dream about the future. People could have precognitive dreams. And suddenly I realized that dreams had no boundaries. They had no limits. People all over the world were dreaming about an accident in Aberfam, Scotland. I think it was 1962. They were dreaming black crows were flying over Aberfam. Black clouds were flying over Aberfam. And there was a slag heap behind the elementary school. And in a rainstorm, it came down, buried the school, and killed every child in the village. It's in the atmosphere. There's no limits. I can't tell you how many people dreamt of 9/11. And when I was studying the Titanic, there were 21 recorded dreams of the Titanic going down. Two people did not get on board and save their lives.
Wow,
so dreams do not have they don't have any boundaries. There's no limits. So we, in a sense, we have what God has.
We're gods in the earth. We're gods in the earth, actually. Well, you know, speaking of that, I remember a gentleman saying that he was supposed to go fly somewhere to Europe, and that night he had a dream, and he told his wife, "I'm not going to get on that flight." And his wife said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I had a dream that the plane crashed." And she said, "Oh, that doesn't mean anything." But he decided not to go, and indeed, the plane did crash. And I'm just a firm believer that in the West and in the U.S. that we really need to quiet ourselves and our spirit so that God can speak to us, and one way that he does is through our dreams.
Absolutely.
And I just love that. So what can you, in reviewing, can you believe our time is almost gone, what can you share with our listeners what dreams can do for them, for people who may say, "I'm really going through a tough time, Dr. Bernard," or "I'm in a relationship that's very difficult," or "I want to start a business," or "I want to learn how to really handle my children differently." What can you say to our listeners? What are some of the benefits of dreams?
Well, first of all, you have to record dreams.
Okay.
So, you know, inertia is the main issue we have to deal with. People have wonderful dreams, and they say, "No way am I going to forget this." And sure enough, they go back to sleep, and they have forgotten the dream. But dreams can advise, they can heal, they can warn, they can solve problems. Dream whatever you need and you can't get consciously, dreams will do that for you. Dreams, you know, it's an interesting question. Dreams disregard death. When people are have death dreams, it's amazing to me. A woman who had a dream, and she was dying of cancer, that she was holding a candle in her left hand, and she was looking in the mirror, and she could see the reflection of the candle and herself in the mirror. And suddenly, a hand reached over her right shoulder, snuffed the candle out, but the candle in the mirror didn't go out. It just kept getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And she sighed at that moment and died in front of this person after sharing the dream.
Wow.
So dreams disregard death. They just say life goes on at some level. So people need to talk about dreams. They need to share their dreams. Share it with a friend. A friend may have some unique ideas of looking at a dream that may be helpful to you. But, you know, it's important to check out the website.
Right, and I want you to share with our listeners, you talked about dreams providing a richer, fuller life and creating abundance, and I don't think that I've ever thought in those terms that dreams could do all of that until I read your book, and I realized it's quite an amazing way or tool that God uses to really bring us into a really abundant and purposeful life. So share with our listeners how they can get your CD, your website, your services, etc.
Right. Well, the best way is there are two websites. One is www.dreamtechniques.com. And on that, in that website, I have the book, God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. And there are four CDs. One of the CDs helps you solve problems that you're stuck on in spiritual growth. One has to do with health and healing, and one has to do with new and creative ways to make money. And then there's a general problem-solving one, like, you know, career. Do you have career issues? Do you have a relationship problem? Everybody has, you know, relationship problems. And then on the other website, which is www.sleepanddreambig, there's an ebook that can be downloaded. And the name of the ebook is Sleep, Dream, and Grow, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. And you can also download the CDs from them. The Dream Techniques website, if you just go visit it, you'll get a couple of free gifts that I will email you.
Well,
so that's the whole shebang.
Well, Dr. Bernard, you've just given us so much information. I just have an interesting question just popped in my mind. Do you feel that if people would, on purpose, begin to have dreams every night, that they wouldn't have to take sleeping pills or, you know, anxiety pills to go to sleep at night? Do you think that if they would just program their minds, their subconscious mind, to really just begin to dream about maybe sleeping peacefully, that they wouldn't have to take medicine?
Well, you know, I look forward to my dreams. I'm saying, well, what is tonight going to bring me? And I think sleeping pills prevent dream recall. They cut down REM sleep. They cut down dream time. And when people take sleeping pills, they usually do not recall a dream. You know, if you can't sleep without a sleeping pill, then by all means, take a sleeping pill. But I think if you learn to meditate, even meditate before you go to bed, and try it without a sleeping pill, and you may start to recollect some dreams, and it's worth the evening to have a very helpful dream, because you'll get information your conscious mind would never think of.
That is so true, because a prime example happened to me today when I was meditating, and I just had an idea. Well, give your listeners coaching tips for 21 days, because it takes 21 days to really change a habit,
right.
And that came to me through meditation. I wasn't even thinking about 21 days, and so you're so right on that. As long as you can quiet your mind and just be still, then answers can come to you.
You know, it's really interesting. You don't dream these dreams. They dream you. Now, what I mean by that, let's say that I, for example, had a dream in my early 20s. After I got my therapist license, I had a dream that I was in a really dark building, and I heard my name called. Bernard, come in the room. I need to talk to you. And I went into this room, and there was an ancient woman sitting in a dark room, two candles illuminating her face. She was seated at a desk. I walked up to her, and I said, what is it? I looked in her face. Oh, she must have been several hundred years old. I said, what is it? She says, you know, I could help you become a superb therapist.
Oh, my goodness.
But she said, I'm not going to help you. And I said, why not? And she pointed her finger at me and said, because you still don't know who God is yet.
Oh.
And I woke up. Now, that God was the furthest thing from my mind. I had real problems. You know what real problems are, Constance? Paying your bills.
I know.
Those are real problems, you know, like getting four new tires for an old car because, you know, you want your family to be safe. And I didn't dream that dream. You see, that dream dreamt me.
Oh.
And in other words, there's an intelligence in you that wants you to do something, and it's trying to redirect you. And sometimes the only way it can get to you is through a dream. I did not dream that dream. That dream dreamt me. And C.G. Jung came to me in a dream years later and told me who God was. And that's all in God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. It's amazing that so many spiritual insights have come to me in my dreams, things I never would have thought of consciously, never.
That is so, and you're so passionate about it. It just emanates from your being. We can just feel it through the airwaves.
It's true.
About it. And I think that's so powerful in our last minutes, because I think that, you know, my show is on the law of attraction, but I think what people really desire most is to really attract their calling. I think what Aristotle said, that where passion and talent crosses, therein lies your calling. And I think rather than attracting another car, another home, I think that Dr. Bernardi is a prime example of how that when God speaks to you through your dreams, that you really find out what your purpose and your passion is.
Oh, I can't tell you how many people found their careers because of their dreams.
Right, right.
I mean, so many of my clients and people in my dream seminars found out what their true gifts are in their dreams, because of their dreams.
Well, Dr. Arthur Bernard, you have been a blessing, and we have just learned so much about dreams from you. I'm going to encourage all of my listeners from all over the world to go and purchase his book. I reread it again today, and I realized how much I didn't comprehend the first time that I read it. So go to those two websites that he shared and really get those free gifts and listen to those CDs, MP3s, download those so that your life can begin to change. And Dr. Arthur Bernard, you've been a blessing to my listeners today. You've been a blessing to me, and I really appreciate you coming on the show sharing today.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you for sharing the promissory note dream. Perfect example.
Perfect example. Well, thank you so much, and God bless you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Good talk. Okay.
Bye.
Wasn't that very interesting? I tell you, you just learned so much on the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And as I said earlier, I really want you to go to his website and really purchase those items, because it will really change your life. And as I said earlier, I did not want the show just to be about attracting money or wealth or another car, but the true purpose of this show is for you to really find out who you are in God and begin to attract your purpose and your destiny, and to give you tools and to equip you to walk in that more fully. So that's the purpose of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. Well, just a quick reminder, don't forget to follow me on Twitter this week, because as I said at the beginning of the show, if you're just listening, that I'm going to begin on October the 21st to begin giving you daily coaching tips on how to change your life for 21 days, within 21 days. So I'm going to be literally coaching you over the next 21 days, but you need to follow me on Twitter. And also, remember to go to my website, www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and there you can purchase and download my workbook, Secrets of Success, which is really 25 years of my experience, expertise in human behavior. And it's just like me coaching you personally, and I will take you from where you are to creating the life of your dreams. And so I've just had rave reviews about it. Constance, your workbook has really helped me. So if you're really feeling kind of stuck, or if you know you should be making more money, like Dr. Bernard said, or you're ready for a career change, or you simply just ready to live a more purposeful and peaceful life, then you really need to get that workbook. Well, this is Constance Arnold coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Please join me again the same time next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I would take some of the information that Dr. Bernard shared and just begin to take small baby steps. Maybe one thing he said to you sort of pierced your spirit. That's the one thing that God is really speaking to you that you may want to begin to implement into your life. So this is Constance Arnold saying that when you really change what you truly think and you really change what you truly believe, then you will have miracles and manifestations in your life. And I will see you again this time next week. Thank you so much for joining me, and God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.